John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ." Amen.
What a wonderful verse. From his abundance. From his abundance. You know, it's great to give. In all seriousness, it's great to give. When you've got something and you give it to someone, there's a real satisfaction. You've given from your abundance. When you know, that's why tithing is so important to Jesus. Not because he wants your money, because he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. But he wants you to have the joy of knowing the abundance that he's given you, that you will just contribute something back, and there's nothing better. You know, we'll do it at Christmas, we've got no problems, you know. I know some of us will put a limit on how much we'll spend on each other. That's not what I'm saying, you know. My limit for Christmas, for Avril, is about £5. That's the limit I put on. And God has given us out of what he has. And in the New Testament, those who follow Jesus called themselves disciples. That was a challenging degree for us, because the Bible defines this word specifically. Jesus calls his disciples to love one another as the critical distinctiveness in their lives. In other words, if we say, "I'm a Christian," what we're actually saying, if you're saying, "Oh, I'm a Christian," you're saying, "I'm a follower of Jesus." And if you're a follower of Jesus, one way to show that you're a follower of Jesus is that you love people. Is you love people. Now, can I say, that's sometimes hard to do, Danny. Isn't it? It's hard to love everybody, isn't it? We've got to love one another, even as Jesus loved us. So if I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm actually saying, I have the capacity to love one another. To love one another. It's my first distinctiveness. It's my first distinctiveness. When the church loves people the way Jesus loved people, the people from outside will come in. Last Sunday we had Messy Church. I don't think they come in just for the fish and chips. I think they come in because they thoroughly enjoy Messy Church. And what I'm saying to you is, I'm hoping that the love of God is flowing out of what we are trying to do. Because the key difference between Christian and disciple is a Christian is most about what a person merely believes. A disciple is about how a person lives out that belief. I'm not a Christian by word. I hope I'm a Christian indeed. Jesus said, this is what Jesus said now. Jesus said, let your good works shine before everybody. He wasn't saying that good works will get you to heaven. He's saying, let your good works so manifest that everyone will say, "Why do you do this?" And then Abby will say, "Because I love Jesus." And that glorifies God. So when we're doing good deeds, we're not doing good deeds to get salvation. We're doing good deeds because we have salvation. And we want everybody to know that our Father has done something wonderful in our lives. So when we look at outsiders, we know that their behavior is different. We saw the tragedy on that tube station about refusing to allow a man of a different colored skin. Wasn't that a tragedy? He couldn't get on. Has anyone seen the video clip? A football match. It had nothing to do with football, but basically they were going home on the tube station in France, on the metro tube station, right? And you know how the doors open at the tube station? And this gentleman wanted to get on, and they pushed him off. They physically pushed him off. They wouldn't allow him to get on the tube. He missed the train and went on. Why? Because he had a different coloured skin. Now, thank God for videos now. internet is really good, and somebody's iPhoned it, and it's been sent to the police, and I hope these people get dealt with. You see, for us, there is no such thing as colour. The Bible tells us, if we're Christians, that we are one in... What are we? We're one in Christ. So there should be a distinctiveness between the Christian and the non-Christian. Our principles are different, but we cannot expect non-Christians to have the same principles as we have. Why should they? They don't know Jesus. So the second thing is, we must remember that outsiders cannot have the same principles, and it is wrong. Can I say this again? It is wrong for you to impose your beliefs on people who don't know Jesus. It's wrong. God wants people not to come because you're imposing something. God wants them to come to Him because they have seen what He can offer them and freely come. We cannot impose our principles. We cannot impose our values on people who have not yet accepted them. And we try to as a church, and that's why the church has such a reputation. Now, I thank God it's changing. I thank God it's changing. Because we need to know that when it comes to people who say they belong to Jesus inside the church, then we do judge. We do make recommendations. We do say you can't no longer do this. You cannot no longer do that. The church has to deal with issues. It has to deal with issues because we're saying, and last week we had the pleasure of bringing Sarah into a great relationship with us as a family. And Sarah has agreed, and we've agreed with Sarah. And there. So what I'm saying is, we're going to look after Sarah. Sarah will do what she can for us. But if there are things and issues to be solved, we have a right now to say to Sarah, and Sarah has a right to say to us, I don't think this is truth, and we need to have some discipline here. So, what else have we learned? We've also learned that loving others are our marching orders. You know, the Salvation Army. I can't say anything. My wife's a Salvationist. She's a Salvation Army. And I, when we got married, decided we had to come to one church. So I went to join the Salvation Army, but they wouldn't give me a drum. I wanted to go down the street with one of these. Come and join us. Did you not remember those things? Can you remember, Mary, when they used to say... My wife, by the way, refuses to believe the Salvation Army used to do that. No, she did, don't you? They did come and join us. Do you remember it? Yeah, of course you do. We're all going to heaven in a corned beef tin. We used to go, it used to be all that sort of thing. Anyway, where was I? Yeah, I did get married, yes. Praise God, I got married. Oh, yes. I still don't know where I am, but let's... Oh, yes, sorry, I'm marching orders. Well, the Salvation Army are known for it, aren't they? The Salvation Army aren't they? They know they're coming to them. And what I'm saying is, our marching orders are to go and reach the lost for Jesus. Isn't it? That's our marching orders. Let's win the lost for Christ, but let's do it in such a way where love is the key of everything we do. Let's not impose our standards on people. Let's say, listen, we want you to know Jesus. You children at school should be wanting your school mates to know Jesus. Your commanding order at school is to love Jesus and to win others for Christ. And the final thing that we talked about is that Jesus gives us our identity and called us salt and light. And we talked about that last week, salt and light. Jesus wants us to be salt and light. It's all on the internet. I hope we're salt and light. I hope we're people that are who we say that we are. We're almost at the end of this series. But the next thing to be a follower of Jesus means, it means to understand grace and truth. The problem with grace and truth is there's a tension between grace and truth. The Bible talks about, listen, the truth shall make you free, but the truth can only make you free when you know grace. And we read a verse today that said, and Jesus, we beheld his glory, the glory of only begotten Son of the Father, full of Grace and truth. In other words, Jesus was saying you can't have one without the other. And the church cannot be seen as just someone who speaks truth, 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 condemning, condemning, speaking truth, 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 without showing the other side, which is grace, grace, grace. Romans 6 says, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. And Paul wasn't saying then that we just do a life of sin because grace is superior. He's saying, no, you need to understand grace and truth. And the church needs to tell the world about grace and truth. And that was the point of John's gospel. John wrote that Jesus, as the Word was made flesh, Jesus came down from heaven and he was made flesh. He dwelt among us. The word for dwelt, by the way, is a tabernacle. It means putting a tent up, like your caravan. And this poor man, this man here made his wife push the caravan. Push the caravan! I couldn't believe it. And I said, well, she'd probably put her shoulder out. And he just went. And I'm not one for telling tales, Pam. And he kept saying, harder, push it harder, push it harder. Listen, where was I? I've lost my thread again. I was pushing a caravan, but... Oh, yeah, grace. You see, he came and he dwelt among us. He set up his caravan. He sent up his tabernacle. He came and he lived here. Jesus lived here. He's not an image. He's not a theophany. He came physically as a human being and he dwelt among us. The difference was he was full to the brim with grace and truth. He wasn't just grace and truth. He was grace and he was truth. And that's what we're going to do in the next 5 minutes. And Abby's going to come out here with Danny and they're going to show you. Now, Abby is grace. So let's give a hand for grace. Abby is grace. Can you see your line, Abby?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Danny, you're truth. Okay? Now, they're not your good clothes, are they? And if they are, I don't care. Listen, I don't know. Can you lift that? What I want you to do, Danny, there's yours. You have got Jesus Christ said he was grace and truth. Now, is he proportionally grace or is he proportionally truth? So you have to fill your grace up to that line. Can you see your line? And you have to fill your... Can you see your line? We're going to time you. You both have a jug. Okay. You proportionally got to see whether both of you can get the same amount of water in the same amount of jug at the same time at the same line. Okay? Did you get that? Because I didn't. Not a clue what I said there. Okay, so now listen. You've got to get the same amount of water to the same amount of line the same amount of time. Somebody say 1, 2, 3. Off you go. Okay, just to the line. Who won? Exactly. Do you hear what Abby said? Sort of. I want you to remember that. Sort of. You've actually done my question for me. Yeah, that's a little bit too big. So pour some out, Danny. Not on the floor. In the bin. Yeah, in the bin. And a bit more. Yeah, you see, you have to pour a bit more out as well. Now, let's have a look, Danny. Oh, you're just about spot on there, Danny. Pour a bit more out of there. Not on my hair, love. Yes, you're about that. Now, you see, that's took a little bit of time, hasn't it? It has, for you to get yours to proportion, and for yours is proportion. And fancy having to try to live a life where you're trying to balance between grace and truth. Pour that in.
All of it.
Now, this time, I want you to fill your jugs up to overflow. I just simply want you to pour the water straight in. Yeah, put the jugs over here. Okay. Are you ready, Danny? Yeah, keep your hand on there. Get your jug, Danny, and I want you just to fill the whole jug up. See how long that takes. Just to overflowing. Go! That's it. Go on, keep pouring it. Whoa. I think you'd say that was pretty quick. Would you say that was pretty quick? I would. Oh, I think I want to go to the loo now. No, listen. pull them in now and give these to her. The difference is, we are trying to balance grace and truth, the tension of grace and truth. And it took some doing. Abby said, I think it's about there. And that's the point without tensions. I think I've got grace, and I think I've got truth. I'm trying to balance it. Jesus, perhaps, did he have more grace and more truth? No, the scripture says he was full to the brim. And that's why I got him to pour the water for overflowing. You see, truth says, that Hill is accountable. That's what truth says. Hill is accountable. We're all accountable to God. That's the truth. You see, in some people, Abby, they're hanging on to that and frightened. They're frightened because they're saying, oh, he's a big God and I've done wrong. And they don't realize, yes, that's true. But grace says you're forgiven. Can you see the balance here? Truth says you are condemned for all have sinned and fallen short of the... All of us. We're all sinners. And if you go like that, you'll drive yourself mad. But the counteract of truth is grace. But not that truth's up here and grace is up here. The truth is I'm a sinner, but grace says I'm forgiven. I cannot say grace is up here, I'm forgiven, and have the truth down here that I'm a sinner, because then I'll just carry on doing what I want to do. I have to realize that the reason I'm forgiven is because the truth condemns me. And that's when Jesus said the truth will make you free. Truth will make you free when you realize that you stand in front of God condemned. But also grace says to you that I have come that you might have life and you might have it in all its abundance. But can you see the conflict and tension outside in the world? Because what we've done in the world is we've told the world, you're sinners. And then we've got rounded by saying, but God loves the sinner. And they know this off by heart now. What I want them to know is, yes, we're all sinners, but just as equally, we all have grace. It's this tension. You see, the truth says you're broken. And I don't care who you are, the truth says you're broken. And I'll guarantee there's something broken in your lives. None of us are 100%. Truth says we're broken. We're broken people. And I tell you, death makes us broken. Sickness makes us broken. Truth says we're broken. Grace says I'll fix it. Grace says it'll be okay. Will I walk through the valley of the shadow of? What will I do? Why? Because, that's right. Truth says I'm going through the shadow of the valley of death. Grace says, but I'm going through it with you.
Hey, Kat.
Jesus.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see you here.
Whoa, what's that smell?
Smell? Oh, well, that's my trash. I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, well, is that why you've been avoiding me?
Avoiding you? I haven't really been avoiding you. I just, you know, I don't want to get close to you. I mean, I don't want you to smell it.
I'll take it, Kat. Come on.
Oh, no. That's okay. I mean, I made it. It's my trash. You know, I should carry it. That's okay.
Yeah, but Kat, I mean, this is my job.
Right.
I take people's trash. That's what I do, so...
Right, okay. Well, maybe I could go and just clean it up a little bit, you know, and then I'll come back.
No, Kat, I don't need you to do that. Okay, I'll take it from you so you don't have to carry the weight.
Oh, well, I...
Come on. Just hand it over. All right. Let go. Let go. Yeah. How's that feel?
Weird. Wow. That is crazy.
Yeah, just loosen it up a little bit.
Check that out. I don't know if I've ever moved like that before.
Well,
I mean, that is crazy. I feel so free and alive.
The lack of trash.
Wow. It's just like, this is the craziest feeling I have ever had. It's like something's missing, you know?
Well. You're used to feeling free, because that's what you are now.
Right, okay.
What are you doing?
I got to get one thing, okay? Hold on just a minute.
Get one thing? No. Don't open the bag.
Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I really appreciate all that you've done for me.
What's going on here, Kat?
What?
Look, I'll take the trash, but you need to put that back.
No, actually, that's okay. This is mine. It's my piece. I want to keep it.
No, it goes right back in the bag, so I'll help you. Here,
put it
here.
No, Jesus, I need to remind myself not to make more trash. I mean, that just
Kathleen,
makes sense.
Kathleen, I will remind you not to make more trash.
Oh,
okay?
Well, Jesus, you know...
That's what I do. I mean, we'll walk together.
I know, but I should be in a better place than this by now. I mean, I just... I'm constantly doing things wrong, you know, and I'm constantly letting you down.
No, the only thing that's letting me down is you taking the stuff back.
Okay.
Look, I took care of the trash before you even created it. Look, don't you see what's happening? Every time I take your trash away, you come back and take another piece. And the more pieces you carry around, the more trash you attract. It reeks. Kat... When I look at you, I don't see your sin. I see you. The real you, the free you. This is what I'm fighting for. This is what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
That's the problem with us. We've allowed Jesus to take the bag, and then we're buried down with guilt. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, but that's just a verse until we know it in our hearts. Yes, I'm going to let Jesus down tomorrow. Yes, that doesn't mean to say I'm deliberately going to go and sin, but what I'm saying is I know tomorrow I will let Jesus down, and Jesus is saying I know I will, but you don't have to take that stuff out of the bag, and you do not have to live with that stuff, because the truth has set you free, because where truth has come, so has grace. You can't allow me to take the sack and then take stuff out of the sack. And yes, we are continually putting stuff into the sack. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us in 1 John, if we confess our sins, He is able to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So when we sin, we take the stuff back into the bag, into the trash. And we say to ourselves, Father, we have sinned, but I know that grace is over me. And Father, I'm asking You to forgive me. And the moment you ask God to forgive you, He takes the stuff and He throws it into the trash bag. And He's carrying the bag. The trouble is, we want to carry the bag too. The Bible says, if the Son sets you free, what are you? But it's only if the Son sets you free. And the only way the Son can set you free is when you say, Jesus, I'm full of truth and that I've been condemned, but I'm also full of grace because Your blood has washed me from everything I've ever done. I no longer carry the sack. I wonder, do you live in grace and truth this morning, or are you overwhelmed by the truth that you have sinned, which brings you down on your knees, not understanding that grace is sitting there waiting for you to pick it up? It's not proportional. They are both full. You see, a man under serious conviction of sin couldn't get rid of the guilt. And his friend turned to a water wheel in the stream. And he said, what turns the water wheel? And the man said, well, the stream. He said, well, what will turn the water wheel tomorrow? And the guy said, well, the stream. And he said, and what will turn it the next day? He said, well, it's the stream. And he said, well, that's God's grace. That's God's grace. Grace is the stream. You and I are the water wheel. I want you to get this morning, because I'm not saying that we live a life where we do what we want. No, because that's not living in truth. That's only living in grace. And that's proportional to what I'm talking about. To know that we cannot live the life that we choose because we're now different tells us that truth has an effect on us. And the effect on us, we understand that grace will supersede when we go. Billy Graham, this is a true story. Billy Graham, this is for you, Dave. When Billy Graham was driving through a small southern town, he was stopped by policemen and charged with speeding. And Graham admitted that he was guilty. So he was told by the officer that he'd have to go to court. So Billy Graham got to court and the judge said, are you guilty? And Billy Graham said, yes, I am. He said, that's $10. It's a dollar for every mile you went over. So if I was using David as illustration, I would say that's £50 for every mile you went over. Suddenly, the judge recognized who was on the dock. And he said, "You have violated the law, but are you Billy Graham?" And he said, "Yes, I am. I'm going to pay the fine and then come and have a steak dinner with me." And that's what happened. The judge actually paid Billy Graham's fine and then took him out for a dinner. So I'm not saying speed to get a free steak dinner. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the judge saw Billy Graham and said, "Do you know what? I want to show you grace because you've admitted you're guilty. And I want to pay your $10 fine, and then I want to take you out for a meal." It wasn't just paying the fine. He paid the fine and then took him out for a meal. That's what grace is. The truth is, I am a sinner. The truth is, God says, "I paid your price, Eddie. I'm taking you for a steak dinner. And there's chips and mushrooms on it as well, Abby." Do we understand grace and truth? We need to understand it, because what I'm saying is, if you tell me you do, you have to do that to the world outside. And the trouble with the church is they don't understand grace and truth, or they wouldn't behave to people outside. If we understood truth and grace, then we would know that they are outside of Christ, they are sinners, but grace is over them. No, grace is over them. They haven't accepted it, but grace is over them. I want to tell you a really true story as well. This is to do with truth. A woman's red station wagon, Abby, she parked it outside the circus. And this elephant got out. This is true. And he sat on the car. She wasn't in it. Okay. So the woman looked at the car and said, "Right, I need to get it to a garage." Because it was still drivable. Only the roof was bent in. So she went, and an ambulance pulled up and stopped and said, "I hear there's been an accident." She said, "Yes." She said, "Yeah, no." She says, "It's okay, I'm okay." "No," he said, "you need to go to hospital." She said, "No." She said, "No, I don't." She said, I'm really fine." "Oh," he said. "So what happened?" She said, "Well, an elephant sat on my car." The ambulance said, "Yeah, we need to get you to hospital. You've lost your mind." And the poor girl got dragged into hospital. They wouldn't believe, you see, that an elephant had done this. It's in a magazine called Bits and Pieces. See, the ambulance attendants wandered off the hospital saying she's had shocking head injuries, despite the woman's protests. The ambulance men wouldn't believe that an elephant had sat on her car. But I wonder, as we close, have you ever really accepted the fact that Jesus loves you? Can I ask you? Have you really accepted the truth that Jesus Christ came in flesh, humanly came and dwelt among us, and said, "I don't have a little bit of grace, and I don't have a little bit of truth. I've come with all the fullness of both." And the example was the dying thief on the cross. Think about it. Peter talked about a man today who was very young or very old, we don't know. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, "You've got to go and do this, and you've got to go and do that, and when you do, you'll receive eternal life." There's a dying thief on the cross. Now, he's not just a thief, by the way, because in Roman times, if you were a thief, anybody seen Ben-Hur? Have you seen the film Ben-Hur, children? Well, what they used to do, if you used to steal, they used to make you row the ships. So this man was much worse than a thief, because he wasn't even considered good enough to row in chains underneath the boat. He was a thief, yes, but he was one of the worst criminal sorts of thieves, and that's why he got death. He's hanging on a cross. And he says to Jesus, "Jesus, we deserve what's happening." And Jesus didn't shake his head and say, "No, you're just a little bit of a bad lad." Jesus said, "That's the truth, you do. That's the truth." He said, "But will you remember me?" And Jesus didn't say, as he said to the rich young man, well, first of all, I want you to go away, sell your possessions, and I want you then to come back and follow me. The man was going to die in about 40 minutes' time. But yet the rich man was told to do this and to do that. The dying thief was simply told this: today, you'll be with me in paradise. You see, the truth was, for the rich man, that's what he needed to come to salvation. For this dying thief, he couldn't get off that cross and go and do that. But God knew the truth was, the man had seen that Jesus Christ was the Son of God who came to save him. And that was good enough, and that truth was about to set him free. And Jesus said to him, in about 40 minutes' time, when you breathe your last breath, and in 40 minutes' time when I breathe my last breath, we'll both of us be breathing it together in the kingdom of God. Because that's full of grace and full of truth. God knew the man could not do anything, or he was dying. There was a woman at the well. And no one would speak to her. She had to come out on her own, Abby, because no one in the town liked her. Do you know people who nobody likes? I hope there's nobody in your school that nobody likes, because you should be the one that should be liking them, by the way. This woman, nobody liked her. And she came to a well, and Jesus at the well, and Jesus said, listen, I'm full of grace. Would you pour me a drink? She says, well, you don't speak to people like me. He said, no, I'm full of grace. I'm full of grace. I want to talk to you. You want to have a conversation with me? Yes, I do. Because I love you. But then he brings the truth bit in. He says, go and get your husband. She says, I haven't got one. He says, you're dead right there. He said, you've had four, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. In other words, one of the reasons this woman was so hated in the town was because she had so many husbands and so many lovers, and the one that she was with now, she was living a life that was just immoral. And Jesus was not going to pass that over. So he wanted to get to the truth. That's the truth. The truth is, you're living an immoral life. But then he says in grace, I tell you what though, I can give you something that no man can satisfy. If you want to give you something that will satisfy the deep longing that you have. See, that's grace. That's grace. Truth condemned her as an immoral woman. Grace says, I can give you something that will change your life forever. And she said, come, I'm going to go back to my village and tell them about this amazing grace. But it was mixed with truth. It was mixed with truth. There was a woman brought before Jesus for adultery. Jesus didn't condemn her. Did tell her not to sin anymore. That's the truth. That's the truth. But he also gave her grace. You cannot tell people who don't know Jesus just the truth, because that's unproportionate to what he is. He is full of grace and truth. You cannot talk about grace to someone and not tell them the truth. I hope we've got this morning, because if we were to be more real with the world outside, they'd accept us more. This woman was hated, and yet an hour conversation with Jesus convinced her that this man was not going to back down from the truth, but he loved her with grace. He loved her with grace. And to love as Jesus loved, we need to know how Jesus loved. He loved us by calling sin what? And that's truth. Then he paid for it. That is grace. If you're going to tell someone about truth and stop, you need to understand that you've sent someone away with half the story. What you've done is said, Jesus, you've come with full of grace, full of truth. But where's the full of grace? It is not proportionate. It's fullness. 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 That is what Jesus said. We are now finished. The church is at its best when it embraces truth and grace. And it refuses to let go of the other. The church is to be the dispensation of both. I want us to say this together. And I want us to say it as we mean it. That we as a family, as a church, the church is at its best when it embraces truth and grace and refuses to let go of either. The church is to be. That's what you are. Every one of you sitting in this room, from Kay who goes to school back tomorrow, right down to Danny who has got to go to school. And just think yourself lucky. You might one day have to be taught by Kay. And then you'll see truth. But I hope it'll be mixed with grace. Can we say as a church, though, if we were full of truth and grace, we wouldn't be telling everybody it's okay to live a life of sin. We wouldn't be saying that. But we'd also say, listen, I can give you something that will take away the desire and everything else to sin. I can give you something. And that's why I started a sermon about giving out of the abundance. You and I have got the abundance of God's grace. We need to give it. But we've also got the abundance of truth. We need to give it. I think that's a great statement. And we're going to end there.